Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It is Wednesday. All righty. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Super Dave Show. Oh, man. I'm telling you what. The Republican Party is quite the spectacle right now. I even heard Beck talking about it a little bit earlier. I think Beck's a little mixed up right now. He's one of those people that just didn't want Romney, and it's killing him. He doesn't know what to do. I think he's still going to go with Romney because that's what you're supposed to do, but I think there's going to be quite a few people changing their minds. The state convention is a week from Saturday, and I know that the Romney people are trying everything they can to keep the Paul people out of it. I think the Romney people are really scared right now. Anyway, welcome to another edition of the Super Dave Show. If you'd like to be part of the show, the number to call is 323-784-9620. We always entertain other call, you know, the calls, what people have. Tonight's subject, more than anything, because it shows. It absolutely shows just by the fact of who the press has pushed. And I got to tell you, I spoke to a gentleman earlier today. I was out doing my other job and talked to this gentleman. He's probably late 60s. Obviously a college guy, you know, because if you're a Ron Paul person, you're young and stupid. But anyway, this guy's in his 60s, owns a car lot, and has proceeded to tell me, as many of them have, by the way, of how the cash for clunkers crap has absolutely devastated his business and many others. And it is it's scary, but, you know, I said something to the guy about the fact that I said, look, I'll tell you where I am right now. I'm a Romney supporter. And he goes, so am I. So nice to hear. So nice to hear. And he's just going, he just looked at me. He said, you know, our country is doomed. And I really understand where he's coming from. I don't ever want to think that. I think a lot of us woke up late. I'm one of them. I'll be the first to admit I woke up late, but, it's pretty scary out there. But this gentleman was speaking, and he just kept saying that I hope they wake up quick enough. And I think the next few months are going to be very telling. I just got off the phone with somebody. Thank you, Ronnie. I just got off the phone with somebody, and they were telling me how the Romney people are trying to pull their weight and pull some stunts in here in the Missouri caucus. The state convention is going to be happening on June 2nd in Springfield, Missouri. And some of the stunts are pulling, and there's no shame here. It's pretty spooky. As I was describing yesterday, there's a talk show host, a female talk show host up in St. Louis. I'm not going to mention Dana's name. Oh, I'm sorry. And she was describing how icky and horrible the what she felt about Romney 4 years ago and how he was doing dirty politics, and she was glad he lost back then, even though she didn't like McCain. She just didn't like what he was doing. Well, now that he's the candidate, she was supporting Santorum, wouldn't even think about Paul. In fact, on her radio show, she was making fun of the Paul voters. Aren't you stupid? Oh, how insane that is. But anyway, she's talking about that. She's talking about the fact that Romney is just someone that she's glad is on her side now, because he can do this to Obama. So the guy was slimy 4 years ago, and now that this guy is on our side, well, her side, the sliminess is okay. What am I missing? What the hell am I missing? So the name of the show tonight is How to Brainwash a Nation. And I'm going to play little excerpts of it so you can kind of get the gist. I'll give a little time here for people to come on and find the show. But it's fascinating because I did a show on this a few years ago. And my wife was the board op back then. And we're sitting there listening to this guy, and it's chilling. Because this guy is describing how to brainwash a nation, how they did it. And he came from Russia. There's a brief description who this guy is. He came from Russia, and he just decided it was time to get out of there, and he became a U.S. citizen. And just tells you how it works. And when you hear this, this was done in 1985, and when you hear this, it's really very, very spooky. So you will find out. By the way, a lot of people listen. They do not go in the chat room. I've learned that. I encourage people to go in the chat room because sometimes you may have want your ideas to be out there, and I can't read your mind. And the best way is a chat room or to call 323-784-9620. And by far, you'll get a whole lot more if you call up and give us your ideas. The next few months, like I said, are going to be very telling. But I tell you, I think one of the reasons the Paul campaign is keeping a lot of this quiet because there's a lot of winds being a lot of winds happening through the states, the state conventions, and it's really making the Romney people nervous. And what really is pissing me off, sorry about that, just really gets me, is that the Republican Party is as dirty as they get. They are doing, they won't even report the truth. That, to me, is the most criminal thing I've seen in a while. You know, how can you call yourself a Republican and say you have integrity, and then once some slime bag, which another talk show host called him, want him to go ahead and be the next president? Isn't that wonderful? You know, instead of a man with integrity like Dr. Paul, and yes, I'm a Dr. Paul fan. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Funny. Anyway, I just hope that I hope people get it. I really hope they get it. Anyway, I'm going to play. I hope it's there. There we go. It's over here. All right. I'm going to play Reality Check because Reality Check is my friend Ben Swan. He's out of Cincinnati, and he's already told us he's not a Pulse. He's not saying he's a Pulse supporter. It's the story itself that's not being told about the real battle between Ron Paul and the Republican Party, if you get down to it. Yes, that same Republican Party who claims to be so honest. It just makes me so mad. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this because I think this is important. It's not all that long. You'll see what's going on. But it's really interesting because... Well, you'll find out. Here you go. If I press the button right.
The answer in a reality check, reply all.
The issue at hand, our reality check on Rule 38 of the Republican National Convention rules. As I told you last week, way down at the end of the RNC rules is rule number 38. That rule consists of only one sentence. No delegate or alternate delegate shall be bound by any attempt of any state or congressional district to impose the unit rule. So what is the unit rule? Well, that rule requires that all delegates from one state or congressional district are required or bound to vote as a unit. After that story aired, a blog post titled "Urgent: Ben Swan and Matt Larson are wrong about Rule 38 and delegates being unbound based on RNC rules." Now, the author here does a good job of raising some very valid points at the heart of his argument. The states get around this rule by not binding the entire group of delegates. They always have at least one delegate unbound, and it's usually three unbound delegates. so they are not enforcing a unit rule in any way. Therefore, Rule 38 does not apply to the argument. And that is true. For instance, in Ohio, we have 66 delegates, and they are bound delegates. But of those 66, there are three RNC delegates who have the freedom to vote however they choose. Therefore, the blogger correctly states that this allows the RNC to get around the unit rule. But the blogger may not be entirely correct. I stand by our argument that it very well may be that none of the delegates, when they reach the Republican National Convention, are actually bound. And it isn't just our theory. An extensive article at fairvote.org has taken a very close look at this issue. And the truly important issue is this. The author states that the RNC rules provision on the unit rule make it clear that delegates are not bound to vote according to how most delegates from their state are voting. They go on to say, delegates can vote according to their own judgment and conscience. So, what is all of this based on? Actually, it's not our interpretation of the RNC rules or fairvote.org's interpretation. It is the interpretation of the RNC legal counsel. In 2008, this issue came up. It was actually in Utah, where a delegate did not want to join with the rest of the state and vote for John McCain, and instead demanded that his vote be cast for Mitt Romney. McCain won Utah with 62% of the vote in 2008. But here's the most important part. In that delegate's fight to cast a dissenting vote was this statement over the specific issue. Jennifer Sheehan, legal counsel for the RNC, plainly stated in a letter to Nancy Lord, Utah National Committee woman, several weeks before the convention, the RNC does not recognize a state's binding of national delegates, but considers each delegate a free agent who can vote for whoever they choose. And the National Convention allows delegates to vote for the individual of their choice, regardless of whether the person's name is officially placed into nomination or not. And that statement is about as clear as it gets. The delegate process was actually designed to entrust a group of voters with the power to override the popular vote in each state in order to ensure that the best candidate is chosen. Now, keep in mind, the Republican and the Democratic parties are not government agencies. They're private organizations, more like clubs. So voting within a party is not bound by election law. And that's what you need to know. The national media isn't telling you something very important. This past weekend, Congressman Ron Paul swept the delegates in two states, in Nevada and in Maine. At this point, all the delegate momentum appears to be on his side. So, much of what we've been telling you for months has now finally been mentioned by several national outlets, Bloomberg Business, U.S. News & World Report, even radio host Mark Levin this week have finally started to hint at the idea that, well, maybe Tampa isn't going to be inevitable after all. Stay tuned. And that is Reality Check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. You can find.
Hey, you got to admit, that's pretty scary stuff. And it's, you know, the RNC, I wonder when we're going to find Ms. Sheehan's body laying somewhere accidentally poisoned or something close to that. It would be really interesting to get her on, wouldn't it, to see what she says. But I have a feeling, though, that the RNC is doing anything and everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen. And frankly, I don't know how in the world, like you said, they're private organizations. I don't know how in the world that they could force anybody that they have to vote a certain way. And I actually think that in time, that as more and more people are getting nervous about Romney not winning, that's a good possibility that in at the convention there could be some wild stuff going on. And frankly, I'm kind of sick to death of the people that are just dismissing all this because, you know, in the excerpts I'm going to show you from How to Brainwash a Nation, you're going to find out that this is how it works. People will get to a point, this is what he's going to tell you, people will get to a point when they actually see facts, hard facts in front of them, they dismiss them. And when you do that, I mean, it's like looking at a wall and the wall is red and they tell you it's white and you go, you know what, I think they're correct, it's white. Well, no, it's red. No, that wall's white, I can see it is. I mean, when you show someone facts, and I've done this many times, they don't believe you. And to me, that's about the spookiest thing you can get. So, you know, we're going to start this in a second here, but if you have any, if you'd like to be a part, if you'd like to call and give me some ideas of something else, what you think about this before it starts, because I like when people say, oh, no, this isn't right. And I want to hear it. But it's How to Brainwash a Nation, and someone's already told me they heard this, and they totally understand what I'm talking about here. So, all right, I'm going to start this out. This is, gentlemen, this interview was done in 1985. And he's this is the interviewer, like I would do. And he's going to first going to start out and tell you who this guy is. Here we go.
Station is with Mr. Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmianov. Mr. Bezmianov was born in 1939 in a suburb of Moscow. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He was educated in the elite schools inside the Soviet Union and became an expert in Indian culture and Indian languages. He had an outstanding career with Novosti, which was the, and still is, I should say, the press arm or the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There is no mystery. There is nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of its intelligence at all. According to my opinion, and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow and is divided in four basic stages.
I'm interrupting here for a second. When you first hear this, remember this was done 27 years ago. Doesn't it kind of sound familiar? This abundance of information, because right now we're an information society. But anyway, I'll continue.
The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, Even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes him, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So the next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, it doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power structure and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kinds of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Leninists come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrade. It's the same pattern everywhere. It's divided in four basic stages: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, normalization. They will be lined up against the wall and shot, wall and shot, wall and shot.
All righty, there's your lesson for the day. Please tell me if you think this is happening. Tell me if you don't think this is happening. You notice the part where people just get fat and happy? Notice the part where politicians come out and they start promising you everything? Notice the part where the Republican Party, where you have basically a leftist, someone who is slightly to the right of Obama, and I mean slightly to the right of Obama? That's what we have right now. So this is all normal. This is what's going to happen. And now I listen to so-called conservatives who are behind Mitt Romney. And he's already shown what he can do. I will say one thing. The best part is that they'll take all the professors who are out there pushing this crap, and they're going to line them up and shoot them. At least there's something good about this. Isn't that terrible? All right, if you'd like to be part of the show, 323-784-9620. Is that scary, guys, out there? This guy, he did this 27 years ago, and you would think that he did it last week, because really, he just forecast exactly what happened. I remember back in the 90s when there were all these crises. Remember the Clintons? They were in a crisis. There's a housing crisis and all these other crises, you know. Yeah, how many generations have been educated in this philosophy? No kidding. How many? You know, it's pretty spooky, too, because, you know, when you look at the kids, if you notice, everyone needs to go to college. That's one of my favorite farces going out there. People, if you're going to be a plumber, you don't need 4, 5, 6 years of college. I don't even know if you need college. If your deal is just to go to work, be a plumber, you know what? Not everyone can be rocket scientists. Some people have to be plumbers. Some are carpenters, whatever. Not everyone has to do that. So why in the world is it that we have people who call themselves counselors in school, which I never did understand, and they counsel the kids to go $100,000 in debt? Look at what you owe. When you go that in debt, what happens? Most people get student loans. Who is in charge of the student loan department right now? The government. So after you get your $100,000, and that's pretty much what it amounts to if you get down to it, when you add all the cost up, just think about it. You're $100,000 in debt and you haven't earned a penny. And you've got these leftists like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all the rest of them say, oh no, you better go to college. Now you know why. Because like he said, you're going to be educated in the Stalinist mentality. And boy, you're not kidding there. When they're up there, look at the ones who are on Occupy. The Occupy people, and what do? They go up there and cause all the trouble. And, you know, the press, which is just as bad, which are college graduates, by the way. You know, think about that, too. The college graduates go to the press. They become the press. They become the professors. Well, if Hitler knew that, okay? Hitler knew that if you educate the kids in the way you want to be educated, indoctrinated, as many of us would say, guess what's going to happen? That's exactly what happens. And it's amazing. I use that word a lot because I look at supposed intelligent people, And I hear stuff coming out of their I hear stuff coming out of their mouth, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. You know, what was it? Was it April 1st? May 1st? No, what day was it that Breitbart was going to come out with the big news about Obama? And then all of a sudden, he magically has a heart attack. I immediately, on my Facebook and other places, said the man was executed. I was chastised because I was wrong. Don't you realize? People make excuses. So he was chastised. I was chastised. And then all of a sudden, one of the coroners who was trying to determine for real what was going on, because if you remember correctly, when Breitbart had his heart attack, he died with natural causes. They knew that within like an hour. It took Michael Jackson, 2 months? Insane. 323-784-9620. I want to hear what you have to say. Tell me if I'm off base. We have all these people in the chat room. I know there's people listening. You know, and this is part of what it is. You sit around and you wait for somebody else to tell you things. You know, I had somebody earlier tell me he didn't believe that voter ID was a good idea. I said, you know what? You need to come on the show. Oh, I don't want to do that. Why? Well, you may embarrass me. This is not about embarrassing people. This is about conversation. This is trying to learn. Yeah, he did. That's right. He thought voter ID was was the future of the the nationwide card or something like that. You don't need that. I mean, my God, if you're going to go into a voting booth, I mean, if you're going to go cash a check, what do you need? You need that. Are you telling me that if you're going to go into a voting booth, you don't have to prove who you are? Hey, look, I came from St. Louis. I guarantee you in St. Louis, there were people up there who were taking big advantage of the fact that they didn't need a voter card. They didn't need an ID. And so they would go in and vote for somebody else. Happened all the time. Why didn't we prove it? Do you know how hard that stuff is to prove? And it does. Oh, by the way, it is proven many times. It just never, you know, the liberal press, which is liberal, of course, they don't tell you about those things. And I wonder sometimes why the other ones don't. What's wrong with Fox lately? Really? I'm in awe sometimes of the fact that that we just sit around and wait for somebody else. You know, I listen to Rush, and there are people obviously call Rush, and people walk away from Rush and just think of Rush is right. You know, Rush is a good guy, I'm sure, whatever, but the point is, the point of Rush is that he has his own agenda too. He has to make a buck. That's what he's there to make a buck. I'm not saying he's not genuine in his thoughts, but how many times, I'll never forget the time when he made a comment. He said, I feel like I've been carrying the water for the Republican Party. Well, meet Sean Hannity, and that'll tell you right there. No doubt Sean Hannity does. If you ever notice, Sean Hannity always says, I'm a conservative first before I'm a Republican. Well, that's because people know for a fact that he's a Republican. Because no matter what, I mean, now he's in Romney's camp, and I guarantee you he wasn't in Romney's camp to begin with. He really wasn't. All right. Hey, I'm going to take a break. Caller, hold on. We'll be with you in a minute. All righty. Let me take a minute here to tell you about my friend Jerry of Jerry's Transmission here in Springfield, Missouri. All right. You know there's nothing worse than having your car break down, especially if you know it's transmission problems, because you pretty much can figure it's going to be a big bucks. But then who do you trust to take it to? Well, here in Springfield, I can highly recommend Jerry's Transmission. He's been doing it for God knows how long, 40, 50 years. The guy's old. And anyway, his son's doing it now, and they have a very experienced crew, bunch of good guys. I've met them, and just a great place to take your vehicle and feel like you can trust them. All right, they're 2035 West Kearney, and that's a few blocks west of Kansas Expressway. Please give them a call at 417-865-0668. And what you got to do is tell them Super Dave sent you, and then what they'll do is they'll charge double, and I get half. No, I'm just joking here. Anyway, just give them a call. That's 865-0668, Jerry's Transmission. All right, we're back here at Super Dave Show. Numbers call 323-784-9620. We got somebody on the line. All righty, caller, welcome to the Super Dave Show. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Dave. You know, I'm not a big fan of the voter ID. I just don't see how it's going to solve anything.
Why is that? I'm just curious why.
Well, first off, I don't know what the problem is, and the second thing is it's just more bureaucracy.
I don't understand the bureaucracy because, let me ask you, when you go cash a check, do you need an ID?
I haven't used a check in years.
Well, you didn't answer my question.
You use a card. You use a debit card, you swipe it, and no, you don't have to have an ID to use a card.
No, you don't, but in order to get your bank account to begin with for a debit card, you have to prove who you are, correct?
Okay.
Okay, so that is your initial part, right? So if someone is voting, all right, let's say, for instance, you're running for office, all right? And
all right.
There are a bunch of people that don't want you there, and they look for all these other they go out and they find the voters who aren't going to show up, and they grab their – and they just say, we're going to go in and be you. And you lose the election because of that. Would that bother you, or you'd say, well, that's the way it goes?
Well, I mean, that's a moot point. When you go to vote, you either have your voter registration card, and if you don't have that, then you have to show an ID. I mean, that's the way it is now. What's wrong with the situation that we have at hand?
So,
I mean,
you
either have a card or you use an ID. What's wrong with
you get your card from your neighbor? What if you get your card from your mother, or your father? You can use his too then? Your dad says, I'm not going to go vote, so you go back and get his card and you go vote again, or you go to another precinct where he lives and you vote for him. Is that okay with you? I mean, is it?
Well, that's no more okay than taking his debit card and going to the grocery store. If he can't keep track of his stuff, and I don't see that this is an issue.
So
see why we're going to need to be scanned before we go to vote. I mean, and is it really like these poll workers are really going to be able to look at your ID and distinguish who you are with these new voter IDs? I mean, eventually it's going to be where that's not enough, and then there has to be an RFID chip installed into the voter ID card.
Well, Mark,
I mean, where does this stop?
Okay, Mark, let me ask you a question. Okay, you're from Springfield, I know. I'm from St. Louis, okay? I can tell you, from my experience, voter fraud is a norm, okay? And as you know, JFK got elected by voter fraud, okay? Does that bother you that JFK got elected by voter fraud?
Well, JFK, I don't have a problem with JFK. He was awesome. He was the first one.
No. Wait, whoa. So it depends on who's getting elected.
No, it's not what the point. The point is, what do I think about? My point is that so it's rampant that people go and steal voter registration cards from people?
I'm gonna go back to what I said before, Mark. All right. JFK was elected, all right, by voter fraud. Okay, that's a fact. I think you're aware of that, right?
No, I'm not aware of that, but I'll take your word for it, Dave.
All right, he was. All right. Let's say, for instance, Nixon was elected by voter fraud. And you don't like Nixon, would it have been wrong then, or what? I mean, my point is, do you think it's so? Voter fraud is okay with you as long as it depends on who's getting elected.
Dave, don't put words into my mouth.
That's what you said. No, Mark.
No, you said, what do you think about JFK? And I said, JFK was all right. Is it okay that he got elected by voter fraud? Of course not, Dave. I mean, don't be putting words in my mouth.
No, I'm going by what I thought you said earlier.
My point is that I don't know that voter fraud is a problem.
And I'm telling you from my experience and the experience of the presidential election of 1960, it was a problem. I can tell you from St. Louis, it was a problem.
Okay, how exactly does the fraud work? Are people stealing voter registration cards?
No. They go get somebody else's. They get their moms, they get their sisters. I mean, that's how it goes.
Taking their voter registration cards.
Yeah. You just go to your family and you say, everybody go register to vote, and I'll go vote for you. Happens all the time. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
How's the voter ID going to change that?
You have to actually
show a picture. And what all information is going to be on the voter ID card?
No, you actually have to show a picture. In other words, when you go cash a check, all right, I know you don't do checks, but if you go cash a check, all right, well, hey, when you drive, let me ask you about that. When you drive, do you have to have an ID on you?
Yeah.
You got a picture on it, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay, let me tell you what happens when you don't have a picture. This happened to my brother. He got a warrant out on him one time because my other brother was pulled over, told the cop he didn't have his license with him, gave him the one brother's name in his the info. So the cop gave the other brother a ticket. Of course, he didn't show. Next thing you know, there's a warrant out for my one brother's arrest by the fact that there was a warrant out for him because he didn't show up for court when it wasn't him to begin with. Now,
all that does is prove that a picture ID doesn't always work.
No, he didn't have a picture ID. The cop should have never let him go. The cop should have.
But the cop did.
What?
But the cop did, and that's what I'm saying. These elections.
Oh, but you're missing the point. No. Hold on, Mark. If they would have, if look, I played cop in St. Louis for a while, all right? If the cop had done her job, she would have said, I want to see some ID. I want to see more. She would have done a whole lot more. She didn't do that, okay? And because of that, my other brother was going to go to jail over it. Do you think that's okay?
My point is, you're proving my point.
No, I ask you a question. Okay, Mark.
Job, what makes you think a coworker's
Let's make it personal, Mark. How about this? All right. I get pulled over, and I know your Social Security number and your name. All right. I get pulled over, and I don't have a license, and I go, my name is Mark, you know, and I give him the information. And so the cop says, okay, that's fine. I'm still going to write you a ticket. Okay, fine. Well, the ticket doesn't go to your house. It goes somewhere else. Mark gets pulled over one day, and he goes to jail. Is that right?
You're proving my point, Dave.
I think you're proving my point.
Doesn't fix it. Just because you have a driver's license with all this information doesn't make all the problems go away.
But he didn't have a license. The cop isn't doing their job if they don't make sure you are who you say you are. That's the whole point. Otherwise, none of us would need driver's licenses. No, in other words, if someone does their job, hold on, Mark, if the cop would have done their job to begin with to make sure that this person is who they say they are, then it wouldn't have been a problem, and that would have been very easy by having a driver's license, and if it wasn't, you have to go farther. That's my whole point. But just to walk in there with a card and say, my name is Fred, or my name's Mark, you know, I got this, I got it from my brother. I can have my whole family get voter IDs, get voter registration cards, and I can go in there, and I got six brothers. I can go get their cards and go wherever and vote for each one of them. Do you think that's a good thing?
I don't think that a picture ID on a voter ID card is going to fix it. Just like a driver's license doesn't fix all driving fraud.
Well, we're just going to have to disagree on that, big guy.
Exactly.
You know, I am.
Enjoy.
I 100%, I understand what you're saying. I do, but I just 100%, nothing's going to be 100%, no doubt about it. But I, as a citizen, I don't like somebody else voting when they aren't registered, as they should be. Okay. If that law says you got to be that, that's what it needs to be,
And my point is, if there is a problem with voting registration, it's a county clerk problem. It's not a statewide problem. To me, all government should be local.
Right.
So why do you want to get
wait a minute. It's local. It's enforced locally. But the state of Missouri has a right to pass a law to say that they want voter ID. They have a right to do that. Isn't that correct?
Well, and then, with that thinking, then the federal government will have the right to nationalize all the state IDs. So we're all using the
That's incorrect.
That's
because
we're
sovereign states, and we don't have to do that. We don't have to have a national ID card. I am 100% against that. I am in the Corporation of Missouri, and that's where I am with that.
Well, we agree on that. I just don't think that it's going to stop with Missouri, and I don't want to give up my county rights to my state.
Well, but you already do anyway.
Well, and I'm not saying I don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. You do anyway, because if you buy property in the county's part of the state. That's just the way it is, right?
And the state's part of the federal government. I mean, what's your point?
Well, no,
where does it stop?
Well, no, the state really is a corporation. I call it a corporation of the federal government, but they aren't owned by. They're sovereign. They're supposed to be sovereign. That's the one thing that some of the legislators are trying to fix in Missouri right now, and actually other states too. They're trying to bring that sovereignty back to the states. And I'm with you on that, Mark. That's where we have issues, because the states haven't been sovereign. They've given up those rights. And there are some very good people in the state legislature right now who are trying to get those rights back. And that's why every candidate who is a who. And by the way, Mr. Blunt has already told people I know that he is not he's not there for state sovereignty. You know that, I guess, right?
Nah, I don't follow Mr. Blunt very much, but nothing much he would say would surprise me.
Well, he's one of the reasons for Cash for Clunkers. You know, and I'm sure you weren't a fan of Cash for Clunkers. And like this, well, you know what this gentleman said earlier? He said, you know, it was really unfortunate because it helped all the wealthy people who can go out and buy cars, but the people who are poor, they got screwed royally because, first of all, when he bought parts for their car, the used parts for their car, the prices of parts skyrocketed, and the price of used cars skyrocketed.
Sure.
But, you know, this was about workers. It's called unintended consequences. Hey, we normally agree on most things, and I understand them. We'll just have to disagree on the voter fraud.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Good luck. I'm glad you called in. I really am. I give you kudos for that. See, and I didn't,
all right,
did
good
I?
Good luck.
All right, Mark. Take care. All right. All righty. Number to call, 323-784-9620. I didn't hurt him. You know, we disagree, and that's the way it is. I think he's dead wrong, and I think a lot of people do too. But what he's referring to is legislation was introduced by Shane Scheller. And I like Shane Scheller. Shane Scheller and I don't agree in everything, and that's just the way it is. But Shane Scheller introduced the legislation for voter fraud and the voter fraud bill and, you know, and the voter ID bill, whatever. But anyway, point is, it has to be, I mean, in my opinion, I want to know, I want to make sure that when I go vote, I have no problem with it. And I understand the part about giving up your privacy, but I think when you go to an election, I think we all get one vote, and I think that's where it should stop. Two New York State Democrats recently caught in a vote fraud scandal told police, voter fraud is an accepted way of winning elections. And I think that's a dirty little secret, Ronnie. I really do, because a lot of people out there, oh, it isn't true. Well, I was in the city of St. Louis, and I guarantee you. And by the way, in the year 2000, the 2001 election, I'm trying to remember what it was. It wasn't presidential, but it was midterms. And I remember that a judge purposely allowed the polling place was supposed to close, I believe, at 7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 o'clock in the state of Missouri, and they allowed them to stay open till 10. And I guarantee you, there were a lot of people that made multiple trips to the voting booth that day. And if you think differently, you are living in another world. And I don't like the fact that you work and pay taxes and do all that, then you get someone else that doesn't. In fact, I'll tell you, you know what I should ask Mark? I have a problem with people who live off the government being allowed to vote. I really do. In fact, and that would be like going to, we can't use GM anymore because that is owned by the government. That'd be like going to Ford and going to Ford and say you want to vote in that corporation even though you've never bought a Ford or you don't own any stock. How's that? You don't want any stock, but you still want to vote in their corporate vote. It just doesn't make sense. If you're not contributing, why should you get a vote? By the way, the Constitution doesn't guarantee a vote of anybody. And I've had that argument with people before too, and I've said, tell me where it says we all have a right to vote. That's the same people that say that we're a democracy. By the way, people, we're not a democracy, just so you know. I want to go back to what we were here to begin with. For you people out there listening, do you actually believe that the nation has been brainwashed, as this gentleman said? Corinda, I know you do. Don't be shy over there, Corinda. But that's what's happened. The nation has been, we've been manipulated all the way. Look at all the fat people running around. And I'm one of them now lately, you know, I mean, It's just one of those things. But, you know, that's something else, too. You ever notice how the government wants to take over how we eat? Well, you know, we did quite well. It's amazing to me. We did quite well a long time ago. Thank you. We did quite well a long time ago when we didn't have all the food police and all that telling us what we can and can't eat. And, you know, it just isn't right that they're out there telling us. And Michelle Obama, I always laugh because she's telling us how we need to eat. And you look at her from behind and it's like, Michelle, I think you better start concentrating on your own tail right there, because that could be a little bit on the big side in my book. But, you know, my point is, it's none of their business. Now, I think it is someone's business, though. What do you people think about the fact when you see these parents with the kids that are 100 pounds overweight? Is that child abuse to you? I wonder. You know, it's kind of weird because I don't like government getting involved. But I think when you see a mom, you see a mom who allows her kid to eat crap all the time. I mean, I think the best way to take care of it is just hound them or something like that. But, you know, I just don't want the government involved in everything we do. It's really a tough situation sometimes. Yeah, it's stupid, all right. I wonder how you feel when they walk in the schools and they waddle through the doors. Of course, the schools are serving all that wonderful food, too. But that's something else that gets me, too, by the way. It's not... Yeah, not survival is fittest, that's for sure. Yeah. It is survival is fittest, though, you know, because right now we've got a lot of people out there who are just so fat and they can't even get around, and we're supposed to accept that. You know, I always kind of there is a type of bullying to some extent I think is okay to some extent. I know it sounds awful, but hear me out. You know, when you're growing up, and the kids would kind of call you names because you're chubby or something like that. You know, a lot of kids, they think about it and they go, I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be called names. And I understand they don't want to be called names. And some of the people are really bad. But, you know, then when you got society going, you have to accept them the way they are. But deep down, you know they're fat and they're going to be sick. And they got. I mean, what are you doing to your kid when you let them get 100 pounds overweight and they get diabetes? What are you doing to your kid when you go there and you buy them snack after snack and crap and go to McDonald's every day? I mean, what kind of parent are you when you're doing that? I think the pressure has to be there to make sure these people take care of their kids right. But I don't want government involved. Here you go. You get government involved. Yeah, you have some big old fat social worker walk in there and tell the mom that she needs to make sure her kid is in good shape. Oh, there you go. Hey, here's one for you. Thank you, Corinda. Stop giving tax dollars to Monsanto. Farmers, yeah, you're right. I don't know if a lot of people understand this. This is something I can't understand why we have all these senators and congressmen and nobody's doing anything about Monsanto. Monsanto owns basically the reproduction of seeds. Used to be if you had tomatoes, you could take those tomato seeds and you could grow tomatoes, but they made them now where you can't do that. Oh, the FDA's a joke. There's no doubt about that. But people have to pay for the GE corn whether they want it or not. You know, and you're right. It just they've done so much to this, and Monsanto really owns the seed market now. And there's very little out there. You guys have to help me with that. We'll do a show on that sometime too, about what the seed, what they do something to the seed so it doesn't reproduce. And that's pretty correct, isn't it? There. I'm reading here. I'm sorry. Who says it's cheap? The reason corn is so expensive right now is because government stuck their nose in it. That's exactly what happened. Government terminating seeds. Thank you. That's what it is. So if you go out and buy apples, they have and take the seeds, you think you're going to get a tree, forget it. That goes with so many other things, too. Watermelons. Watermelons won. Now it was weird. I used to eat the seeds. I didn't care. I figured I'd get rid of them my own way. That would clean out my system. Yeah, I know. You don't want to hear about that on a radio show. But anyway, I you can't even use the watermelon seeds anymore because they won't grow anything. So you have to go to Monsanto and buy their seeds is what it amounts to. Whatever package they use, you have to go through them. Now, who gave those people the right to do that? I mean, that's nature. And what they've done is they've taken over nature and said, we're going to give you exactly what we want. So right now, the seeds they give you are the seeds they want you to have. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but doesn't it get to a point you're wondering, what's in those seeds? I wanted that myself. I'm trying to figure out why do the voters allow this to continue to happen? You know, oh, here's one that just blew my mind. I like Sarah Palin, but she just pulled something. I did hear Beck talking about this today. She was calling Orrin Hatch Mr. Balanced Budget or something like that. The guy's been up there for over, 40 years or something like that. He's in his 80s. He's running for re-election. And the gentleman running against him is more of a Tea Party guy. And Sarah is backing Orrin Hatch. I don't get that one at all. Please help me out. Because, frankly, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to take a quick break. Caller, wait on the line. Got something I got to do, but I'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. 323-784-9620. Okay, I got a question to ask you here. You ever turn a TV on and you trying to look for something good and you can't find it? And then you remember that an hour ago they had the program that you wanted to watch and it's not on anymore? Or maybe you're looking at the menu and you go, oh, man, I'm not even going to be home when this thing's on. Well, let me tell you what you're missing. You're missing a DVR. Why is a DVR so important? Because you can watch anything you want at any time because of the fact you can record it. And as much as the advertisers don't want to hear this, you can miss the commercials. Of course, you don't have to miss mine, but unfortunately, you get to miss theirs, on TV at least. So anyway, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Dish Network. My friends here at Dish Network, All Star Satellite, are Jim and Tim. And Jim and Tim do a great job at giving you everything you need. They have the best deals in the world. And the best way to find out is to call Jim or Tim at All Star Satellite, which the number is 417-887-6100. Now, if you don't live in the Springfield area, that's okay, because they have a network that they can contact the best people in your area. So let me give you that number again, 417-887-6100. And whatever you do, always tell them Super Dave sent you. Hey, it's Super Dave here. I'd like to speak to you quickly about the commercials you hear on this network. And the most important thing you have to understand is I do not put my name on commercials unless I have total confidence in these people. And you, as consumers, need to use the people that I recommend. The one thing for sure is not like your car is broken down. Where do I take it? Well, I don't put my name on something unless I have the highest regard for these people and confidence in them. So make sure you do use the people. Call them up. Ask them questions. And frankly, if you got a problem, come back and tell me, because then they know I'm going to come by and see them. And they don't want that. Because, as you guys know, I am honest and forward about everything, and I'm not going to hold back. I don't believe in covering up just because somebody happens to advertise on the show. If they're not good at what they do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you. By the way, if you have people out there who you think would be a good advertiser on the show, or yourself even, give me a call, 417-770-6301, or email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. It's really important that we take care of other freedom-loving Americans, and it's important that we keep shows like this on the air, because where else are you going to hear it? We're going to have some exciting shows coming up, and it's really up to you to help this show make it. Let's be good Americans. Let's take care of each other. All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show. Number to call, 323-784-9620. And we have been talking about the, actually talk about a number of things, voter ID, but I still am very, just get these eerie feelings about the, about how to brainwash a nation. And anybody doesn't think we're not brainwashed is dreaming. All righty, we got a call in line. What's on your mind, big guy?
Well, I was just got into your conversation about the food, and you know, I'm firing my grocery store. I cannot handle going into the grocery store anymore. It is just a science lab ran by the United States government, Monsanto, that's unhealthy. It's not promoting health. We're not getting the nutrients we need. Our bodies, I mean, we're the fattest, malnourished people on the planet here in the United States because our food no longer has the vitamins and minerals that we need to sustain life. And, you know, we're having to get supplements now in order to, you know, maintain healthy levels of vitamins and minerals. And you know, and even the United States government's starting to fight a war against supplements now, you know, because the USDA is, you know, they want to micromanage our diets. Our diets are not healthy. It's all a bunch of genetically modified crap that they're doing. And I've just decided that I'm supporting the local farmer. I don't come home with junk anymore. I come home with wholesome food, grass-fed beef. It doesn't have the pink slime in it anymore.
What do you got against pink slime? I like pink slime. Hey,
you know,
I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to tell you something, though. When we go back and we think about it, government wants us anyway. I mean, they want us fat and happy, just like the you weren't here to hear about how to brainwash the nation. I don't think you heard that part. But that's part of what...
Yeah, I kind of got in late.
Okay, well, that's part of what they want. They want fat and happy. Well, fat, I don't know about happy so much. But when you think about it, corporations are way too close to government to begin with. The reason there is not a quote-unquote food stamp program, you know, a long time ago, by the way, they used to give the food to the people instead of let them go out and shop for what they want. But corporations got involved and said, no, we're not going to do that. We want you to give them money so they can come to our place and buy our stuff.
Right.
Okay, I don't know if you knew that. When I was a kid, we were poor, okay, very poor. And they used to give us blocks of cheese and all this other stuff. But it was healthy food. I mean, that's what it was. And even back then, I remember we were on welfare as a kid. But all the welfare kids, they weren't a bunch of, you know, fat kids back then. They were a bunch of skinny kids, and they were still pretty healthy, you know, back then. But now you go to the store, and, you know, they give people who can't keep their life, they can't run their life normally, they give them a $500 to say, go buy what you want. And they walk out with potato chips and all this crap that they don't need. And they can't figure out why there's so many fat people out there. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, for sure. And like you said, the genetically modified foods, it's not helping either.
No, it's not. You know, the thing is that for a long time, I was kind of brainwashed, and I'm tying this in now, into believing, you know, as a conservative Republican, you know, we're not supposed to be attacking the big corporations, you know, but, you know, and because that is a Republican platform, you know, we're pro-business. But the thing is that the businesses are no longer free market friendly. I mean, and Monsanto's the perfect example of this. They don't want a free market of healthy food. They want to control the food. And the United States government's in bed with them creating terminating seeds because this is a natural resource that eventually we are going to control. And the writing's on the wall. I mean, it's hard not to see that when you start looking at the patents and stuff out there.
Okay, hold on. But what I want to see, this show is about politics, all right? And what I want to see is I want to see the congressmen introduce legislation to take those things away from them. There's no reason in the world why Monsanto should have 100% of the control of seeds. That's insane. I want to know why,
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why, and this is going to shock you, and it's probably going to shock most of your listeners. right now, I mean, if you hear the debate, we've got to vote for Mitt Romney. Why? Well, because we, you know, the basic reason, well, we got to make sure that the Supreme Court is, you know, shaped by Republicans. Well, guess which Supreme Court justice made sure that Monsanto can control these seeds by writing the opinion that these companies can patent life, which is exactly what's happened. Do you know which justice it was?
Who's that?
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas cleared the way for Monsanto to patent life.
I find that.
No,
so
I'd like to
be able to get some information if you'll send it, because that would be very interesting. I would like to know that, because you know, Clarence Thomas is there and he's more conservative than the rest of them. But see, I think what's gone on is there's so many, you get these people up there and they're more leftist all the time, and then all of a sudden you've got Mitt Romney who's a Republican, who's a conservative, which he's nowhere near, by the way. Back, you know, if you have Mitt Romney, who was it? Somebody told me it was Mitt Romney's dad who did not want Goldwater to be the nominee in 64. Did you know that? Because he was too conservative.
Right. I heard that on the show last night.
Yeah, okay. I knew I heard it somewhere. Well, I'm getting old. I don't remember those things. I'm sure Ronnie does. I'm sure
well,
Ronnie.
Probably a food you're eating.
But, you know, that's the whole point. You know, and now, so Mitt Romney is a conservative. I mean, it's just that you put the name out there and you attach it to somebody, and it's about perception. It's not about reality. Just like what the KGB agent said, you know, it's you show them the facts, the Breitbart thing. You tell them what happens here, and people automatically make excuses. Yes, he died of a heart attack because somebody in power said so. These are the same ones, by the way, we don't trust. How many people trust the press? They don't trust the press, but the press says something, and all of a sudden we believe what they say.
Right.
What's the deal? Help me out here. Hey, you do your stuff. I mean, what do you think about it?
I think it's easier for the powers to be to continue their power trip in order to continue their power trip. It's easy for them to decide that you're the crazy ones. You know, it's easy for them to spin it that you're the crazy one.
Well, the thing is, we're not crazy though. The crazy one is the guy who's constitutional. Remember, how many people have you had tell you, "Oh, that guy's crazy"? It's like, and when you start asking them, they can't answer you. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
They can't give you specifics. He doesn't sound good. What? Well, let's go get a salesman, because that's what it sounds like they want, you know. And by the way, somebody on the board said, you know, that you got to write Republican Party is all pro-business. And people think, by the way, I'm going to be pounding corporations here soon. Number one, because they are so associated with government. I mean, they have connections with government. I think we call that fascism. Am I correct?
Well, I mean, there's a movement definitely in this country to take over the food supply. And the free market's not at play here. I mean, it is a total confiscation of the food supply, and there's a handful of companies that's involved. It's Monsanto, Tyson, you know, the stuff that this big corporate farming that is running the small guy out of business, and Monsanto's business practices are just evil. They will trespass on a farmer's land to prove that cross-pollination has happened. And cross-pollination, it's called genetic pollution, is what it is. It's where pollen comes from, you know, gets picked up in the air from a Monsanto-seeded field and blows over into a pure field where the farmer's trying to stay away from the genetic modified food. What happens is Monsanto's attorneys go to these farmers' fields, they trespass, and they spray the Roundup on their crops. When the crop doesn't die, they're in court against this farmer claiming him of copyright infringement or patent infringement on the seed.
Right, right.
It's evil. It has nothing to do with the free market. It's actually tyranny is what it is. And that's why I'm no longer going to the grocery store to buy food if I can get away with it. You know, this Saturday I will be at the farmer's market, and what a great experience it is. And there's conservatives out there. I talk to them every weekend. I go out there. You know, they're starting to see through this. And, you know, it's I met a friend of Ronnie's out there last week, and we talked for about 30 minutes out there. But, you know, the food is that much better. It's got flavor. I forgot how good chicken is. If you want to taste how good a chicken is, not one that's sat in its own crap
right.
down in Arkansas at one of these
right.
big farms. And you can go there on a hot summer day and just smell the nastiness of coming off the farm. And they're standing in their own feces. They pump them full of antibiotics and growth hormones to where they have half the life. You know, they're plump in half the life. And then they, you know, they go through a processing where they're bleached. And it's a nasty, nasty process.
Wow.
And the truth is that the flavor goes away from the chicken. You don't taste it anymore. But when you get one of these chickens that have been, you know, it comes from one of these farmers markets, it's like you forget how good chicken really tastes.
Well, eggs are the
it's
same
in your way. Mouth, and it's so good.
Hey, Clay, eggs are the same way. We used to have chickens.
Eggs.
We had hens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, our eggs tasted like they had meat in them. They were so good. And this is going to grow some of the people out there, but they would run around. We free range. They call them free range, obviously. And in the morning, they'd take off and a few hens would lay their eggs, and they'd run around the field. And we had horses, and they go through the horse manure. They do all that stuff, you know. They would eat anything and everything on their way. But you know something? How nature did it, when it came to the eggs, they were fabulous. And people would die to eat our eggs. And it was like I always made sure we'd sell what we didn't need. But at the same rate, you know, it was like you're not getting mine because they were that good. In fact, when you would put them in mix it with something, it would make those things yellow. The stuff you have now doesn't even come close. But like if you put it in cake batter or something like that, the cake batter would turn yellow because it just
yep.
that's just the way it was. So it was totally
dark orange yolks.
Yes, it's fabulous, and we miss it, and we're thinking about doing it again now because it just is that good. But then again, have you heard? Was it you that said about the fact? No, who was it? Was showing us that a house was that you telling about the property and you could only do 25% and. I have so many conversations with people I can't keep up. If your house is 1,000 square feet, that if you make a garden out there, it cannot be more than 25% of what your house is or something like that. Just something ridiculous. And you can't sell it to anybody else. That's where business
yeah.
– you know, I want to tell listeners this too. People don't understand it. The reason we have so many laws is because of business many times. It's not because of the citizens. Because why do you think there's licenses in for beauticians and licenses for everything? There's license for everything. It's not just the money. It's the control. And what people don't understand is, let's say, for instance, plumbing. Plumbers, like, you know, they have licenses, which is insane in my book, but they have licenses. And the reason they did that was because this big plumber over there didn't like the fact that one of his guys would leave and he would start his own business. So they would come up with all these laws that would force them to climb, you know, to jump through hoops like you wouldn't believe to keep them from being competition. So a lot of business, a lot of laws are based just to eliminate competition.
And that's why these companies hire millions of dollars worth of lobbyists that go to Washington, that take these congressmen and these senators out. Shows them the good times, get you the concubines, the women, you know, the drink, the great dinners, you know, the whatever it is that they're interested in, whether it's game tickets, you know, wine, women, and song. And they buy these congressmen. They take away our voice, and with their big dollars, they position themselves, and this is why Obamacare is going to last. Mark my words, we're not going to get rid of this because the lobbyists are so strong in these industries and they will fight to keep this thing and they will keep these politicians fat and happy and keep them full of power And we will lose the Obamacare battle because of this. And this is exactly the problem with lobbyists.
I got to tell you, I don't have as much problem with lobbyists. I have the biggest problem we have right now is our tax system, no doubt about it. And by the way, one of the people on the board was talking about the fact he's a plumber, and he's replaced water heaters are up to 50 years old, and they've lasted a long time. But now they're making them so cheap, and that's the whole point of this anyway. They want you to continue. I know that because I was in a business, in the appliance business, and I can tell you some of the things that GE did to ensure that the refrigerators, the ice makers especially, wouldn't last as long. But anyway, in fact, I'll quickly tell you that. My son works for GE, and he's in the St. Louis area. And ice makers go bad because of the self-piercing saddle valves. All right, that's the biggest reason they go bad. And I won't go through the whole gist of how it works. But if you use a self-piercing saddle valve, which is the only thing you can buy anymore, it causes damage to the ice makers. And he says his average cost of fixing the solenoid only, that's the thing on the back, is about $250 if he has GE go do it, which is insane. But that's what they've done. They've done this so they have more business later on. And by the way, when I was in the business, they would not allow people, and I think the plumber probably even knows this, they would not allow people to put self-piercing valves on, because then they said they wouldn't warranty the ice maker and all the parts. Well, when they found out that they weren't selling as many, they decided that was a dumb thing. So they said, no, self-piercing saddle valves are fine. You can use that. And in the meantime, there you go. They're selling parts beyond belief. Does that sound about right?
Right.
Yeah, the valve costs
$700. I've heard the same thing with General Motors. You know, I've heard the same thing with General Motors. My friends who worked at General Motors in Detroit have told me the same thing, how they go about making sure that certain parts – go bad. You know, they could build them for a lot longer, but they don't. But going back to the lobbyist argument, it's companies like Monsanto that are hiring the lobbyists that aren't promoting our free market economy. It's slanting the table towards companies like Monsanto. And it's why John and Judy Dollarhite and other, you know, farmers are being sought after right now, while Monsanto and Tyson are getting away with, you know, producing some of the nastiest food there is out there.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. See, I still say, though, there's lobbyists in all kinds of ways, okay? Lobbyists don't vote. The lobbyists don't vote. And the lobbyists, to me, if there's a connection with a lobbyist with legislation, then it's our job as citizens to look at that and say, oh, so Orrin Hatch decided to go ahead and go with those guys. That's amazing. He got a big campaign donation, and guess what? That law did go through. Well, that right there should tell any person who's paying attention that there's a connection there, and it's absolutely wrong. And I just have a problem with that, because I think we get to elect the legislators, but we're not doing our job by looking at those things and showing the connections. We just kind of say, well, that's okay. I personally don't think businesses themselves have a right to contribute to political campaigns. I believe in freedom.
I think they have that right under the First Amendment. I definitely think they have that right.
Well, they're not people. Hold on. They're not people. Every individual has that right. Union members have that right. If you get down to it, what's the difference between a business and a union member? Because when you buy something, say it's GE and they're contributing to Democrats, you're actually helping pay for them to contribute to Democrats.
Well, then you don't buy GE products if you don't agree with it.
Well, no, but I understand that, but that's a little difficult to do these days to some extent. But if you're a union member, that money's forced from you in some way. And in a way, it kind of is a GE. It's not exactly the same. My point is that they're using your money to contribute to those candidates. I'm beginning to have a problem with the connection with business and candidates. I mean, that's really where my problem is. Because a lot of the abuse that happens with politicians is with their connections with the businesses. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And obviously. look at our military budget. I don't know if you caught this in the American Conservative. They broke down the 2013 military budget in one of their articles. And it's going to total over $1 trillion. We're going to spend over $1 trillion on national defense when you add everything together. Now, they do this. This is really interesting how they do this, because the Department of Defense gets a budget. And it's roughly around $600 to $700 billion. Mitt Romney wants to push it up to $800 billion. But then you go figure in, well, you've got to keep the nuclear weapons under control, and you've got to produce those. But that doesn't go under the Department of Defense. That goes under the Department of Energy. So it's really off the radar. And then you have, you know, we don't even know what the intelligence community is because that's all classified. But there's different things, you know, where certain military aspects are going to different parts of the government. So they're not even on the radar. American Conservative added up and it was $1 trillion. And, of course, if you look at our congressmen, you see the big donations coming in from companies like Boeing and Lockheed and, you know, just like Eisenhower said was happening or would happen.
Well, we have become a throwaway society. There's no doubt about that. And I think that's a problem. You know, I mean, look at how many times I was in the appliance business, like I said, it got to the point where people would just say, oh, I don't want to spend $150 to fix it. I can go buy another piece of junk, mind you, for $250. And you know what? I couldn't blame them in a way. But then again, mm-hmm. you know, they last less and less. And it's built to last for a short time so you can buy more. And I think a lot of us went into thinking, hey, we don't have to buy something. You know, now the one place I will say it is somewhat different is probably, of course, it's expensive to fix them, is cars. They don't make the parts as well to some extent, but I will say one thing. It used to be 100,000 miles, your car was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But now you get 300,000 miles on a car, so there are some things that are a little bit different, you know. Uh-oh, I got in trouble for that one.
I just wanted to call in and encourage everybody to come out to the farmer's market and support the local farmers because
that's
everywhere. Really what's going on.
There's a farmer's market in most towns, by the way. In the city of Springfield, it's at Glenstone and Battlefield on Saturday mornings, right? Or Saturday and Sunday. Saturday.
There's one in the mall parking lot over in the southeast corner. And then they have a new one that's over by Houlihan's on Republic Road in Glenstone. And so basically what we've been doing is we will go to the one on Battlefield where you get really nice bulk meat deals. They have package family deals where it's a little bit more affordable. So you can get like a few pounds of ground beef, a whole chicken, some pork chops, you know, at a pretty reasonable price. It's comparable to, you know, a little bit more expensive, but you know, it's a bulk deal.
And we buy
a couple
food.
Of those. It's great food.
Right.
It's grass-fed beef. It's not this corn-fed beef that this is designed to fatten the cows up quick. And if they're, you know, if the corn's fattening the cows up quick, what's that going to do to you? It's going to fatten you up too. And then we go over to the other one over on Republic Road where really there's a better supply of vegetables. I wish they'd kind of combine them because, you know, it'd make a lot more sense, but like, you know, I don't know what the deal is there. But you can get like whole buffalo, and if you've ever had buffalo, it's just great meat. Yesterday I made a stir fry with lamb meat, which was so good. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of good variation in there, and it's healthy, and it's not this factory farming that you're getting there. It's people who generally care about the health and of the food they're producing.
Okay, Let me ask you a question. You said on Republic. Where at on Republic, by the way?
It's over by Houlihan's on Republic Road in Glenstone. Right after you,
get
off James River Freeway.
I got
it's on the south side, and it's down that hill. I mean, there's kind of a downhill. You'll see the tents all set up,
Okay.
You know, there's probably...
It's by the exit, is what you're saying. The entrance and exit.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, I didn't realize you were there.
It is so much more fun than going to grocery
shopping. And by the way,
too.
For you people
actually...
out, Okay, and by the way, for you people living in other cities, if you know where a farmer's market is in your city, let me know, and we'll announce it, by the way. And something else I'll announce, Clay here is a blogger, and his is, if you go to Google and type Bungalow Bill, you'll get his blog. And we gotta keep track of who's there, and I think if you trust the people that are talking, then you gotta trust what they're writing. Because you cannot guarantee, and I know this for a fact, you cannot guarantee the local newspapers doing their job.
Well, I know our friend Sam Gardner helps run the one down in Branson, and he's raising a lot of awareness about about how fragile the food supply is, and how we've become. Well, for instance, they had a tree drive a couple weeks ago, and they were all giving away trees that produce food. They had like 400 or 500 trees they were doing, and all these trees produce nuts and berries and fruits. And their point is that you've got to. We're losing the skills to grow food as people, and we're counting on this food supply that may not be there, you know, for us if there was a catastrophic event.
But you know, so, what? Let's point this where it belongs, though, because this is a lot of important information. Don't get me wrong, but let's point this where it belongs. This belongs on the voters' backs, and the reason is because we keep voting the same jackasses into office, and I'll say it that way because that's what it is very often, and then those people go up there and allow this legislation to come through where you can't grow stuff. You protect business, as you know, because business is being – this is why I have a problem with business being allowed, because they do offer a lot of money to these legislators in so many different ways. Look at it this way, all right? Let's say, for instance, Clay Buller gets elected, and a certain company wants to promote legislation. Now, you know as well as I do, since the voters aren't paying it, Clay gets money from these corporations. You're going to pass legislation with those corporations. You may not get super wealthy off it yet, but guess what? You will eventually, and you know that. But look at your family. Your family ends up being a bunch of lobbyists, or you work for those companies that make lots of money. One way or another, those big corporations are going to make sure that your family is taken care of because you passed legislation to make their bottom dollar better. Is that correct?
Well, I like to hope I'm have the character Ron Paul, which lobbyists and business don't even stop by his office because they know they're not going to get anywhere.
That's my point.
But you are right.
But see, but the lobbyists are there. You're making my point. The lobbyists are there, and it does no good to go to Ron Paul's office because he's going to say, no, thank you. I'm not passing legislation because of the Constitution. You know, and these other guys go, yeah, come on in and talk to me. Maybe we can work something out. And that's the legislator's fault, and that's who we have control over, and that's why the focus on lobbyists, that's an excuse. I think politicians love it when people talk bad about lobbyists because they get out there and they talk bad about lobbyists, and they know they're lying, but you know they talk bad about it, and then we don't pay attention to what these people are voting for. You see what I'm saying? They pass the legislation, and they go out there and talk bad about lobbyists. Look at Obama. He talks bad about Wall Street. Where did he get millions of dollars for his campaign? Wall Street.
Well, Super Dave, you know, it's a lot of people are pointing fingers at Barack Obama as being the problem. No, Barack Obama is a symptom of the problem, and that's as a whole, all of this is a symptom of the overall problem.
Well, no, I understand.
It's
my
not
point,
as simple.
But
yeah.
My point was, okay, my point was that you have Romney, same thing. He gets his money from certain places. Gingrich did. Santorum did. All these people get money from these places, and don't you think there's something going on? All of a sudden you got all this legislation for Monsanto, all this other legislation to help these businesses. That's not their job, but they do it anyway. So why aren't the voters saying, we need to vote them out? Republican Party, by the way, promotes business. But we are brainwashed into thinking that any business is good. How many of these businesses live off the government, have contracts with the government to do all kinds of stuff because government's involved in so much? You see what I mean? So we got to get rid of the politicians. The voters have to do their job, and then have to do their vote a bunch of Ron Pauls. That's what we need to do. Sorry, it just it drives me crazy that we can't. We got to put the blame where it belongs, and it belongs on the voters who vote these people in.
You're right.
We can't fix a problem. The cancer starts with us because we're the ones promoting cancer. You know, I mean. And that's what we're doing. And we put the cancer cells up in D.C. and Jeff City and these other state capitals, and then we can't figure out why we have a big disease going on.
Yep.
I hope that makes sense, you know. But I just like to stay where it really counts, you know. So, it's too easy. I mean, what you're talking about, I totally get, but it's too easy to blame lobbyists because lobbyists don't vote. But they do because they influence. But if they don't influence men of integrity, they don't influence Ron Paul.
Well, you're right. But the lobbyists and the campaign donations, like you said, I still believe that campaign donations are an important part of the American process. I mean, obviously, I wish they weren't as important, but they are. And you have the right, obviously, to donate to a campaign official. But the problem is that too many of these people are representing, well, let's put it bluntly, they are representing companies outside of their district that don't produce jobs in their district, that all they do, you know what I'm saying? They don't produce jobs in the district. They don't have any plans to come in here and better the economy. But yet they're donating tons of money to our legislators, and our legislators are putting more attention and focus on them than us. And you're right, it's our fault because we're allowing it to happen.
But you know what? When a politician tells me he's going to fix the economy, that should make everybody in the United States run. Politicians can't fix the economy, and if they just vote constitutionally, the economy would take care of itself. Cash for Clunkers right there, it just shows you what it did. It destroyed people's lives. I mean, it really did. You know, and who was it good for? It was good for wealthy people who could buy new cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it was good for. And then, like I said, the gentleman that owned the used car dealership, he just said it hurt a lot of poor people because all of a sudden the price of cars went up $1,000 to $1,500. You took away something because you're going to promote jobs. And look what happened to the jobs of GM. GM went out there, and I don't know if you're aware of it, last year, even though they still owe the government money, even though they put themselves in debt, they gave all their people a minimum $5,000 bonus. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, one of our posters here said it's not corporations that want to charge me $69 to come look at my broken washing machine, then add $50 an hour while he figures out what is wrong and fixes it. Jim, I'll tell you right now, I was in the business, and my son would charge about $250 to fix the ice maker. We were probably about 50 to 60% of that. And one of the problems with the corporations is the fact that they know what they can do to make sure that washer breaks down. Don't ever think most of these corporations don't want those things to break down. They do. I know it. I was in the business. It's made to happen. This crap where they want something to last forever is exactly that. It's crap. You know, so anyway. All righty. Well, listen, I'm going to take a commercial break. Hey, thanks for calling, buddy. I appreciate it.
Have a good night. See you.
All righty. Take care. Okay, everyone. I'm going to take a break here. The number to call, 323-784-9620 if you'd like to be part of the show. All right, you're listening to the Super Dave Show, and let me see what I can play here. I'll be right back. Hey, it's Super Dave here. I'd like to speak to you quickly about the commercials you hear on this network. And the most important thing you have to understand is I do not put my name on commercials unless I have total confidence in these people. And you, as consumers, need to use the people that I recommend. The one thing for sure is not like your car is broken down. Where do I take it? Well, I don't put my name on something unless I have the highest regard for these people and confidence in them. So make sure you you do use the people. Call them up, ask them questions, and frankly, if you got a problem, come back and tell me, because then they know I'm going to come by and see them, and they don't want that. Because as you guys know, I am honest and forward about everything, and I'm not going to hold back. I don't believe in covering up just because somebody happens to advertise on the show. If they're not good at what they do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you. By the way, if you have people out there who you think would be a good advertiser on the show, or yourself even, give me a call, 417-770-6301, or email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. It's really important that we take care of other freedom-loving Americans, and it's important that we keep shows like this on the air, because where else are you going to hear it? We're going to have some exciting shows coming up, and it's really up to you to help this show make it. Let's be good Americans. Let's take care of each other. Alrighty, let me take a minute here to tell you about my friend Jerry of Jerry's Transmission here in Springfield, Missouri. Alright, you know there's nothing worse than having your car break down, especially if you know it's transmission problems, because you pretty much can figure it's going to be a big bucks. But then who do you trust to take it to? Well, here in Springfield, I can highly recommend Jerry's Transmission. He's been doing it for God knows how long, 40, 50 years. The guy's old. And anyway, his son's doing it now, and they have a very experienced crew, bunch of good guys. I've met them, and just a great place to take your vehicle and feel like you can trust them. All right, they're 2035 West Kearney, and that's a few blocks west of Kansas Expressway. Please give them a call at 417-865-0668, and what you got to do is tell them Super Dave sent you, and then what they'll do is they'll charge double, and I get half. No, I'm just joking here. Anyway, just give them a call. That's 865-0668, Jerry's Transmission. You know what I love about that? It goes from Macho Man and then it's me. Yeah. Hey, for you guys out there, isn't the smoking ban vote June 5th in Springfield? For those of you that aren't from Springfield, just so you know, that's where the show is originated here, but there are people throughout the state listening to the show, actually throughout the nation. I just want to – they had this vote last year, actually about a year ago. And they, of course, they always have these votes when nobody goes. And they're doing it again this year because there's really no vote, and they're going to do it the same way. But what they did is they had a vote, and they were taking away the property rights of the bar owners and the rest of them that were allowed to have smoking, and they took it away and said, no, you can't do that. And it's the little busybodies who spend little to no time in these places to begin with, what got to tell them what that owner could do with the legal product. Now, some of the bars actually were behind it, but they were behind it because they were afraid. This is another place where business tries to push legislation. They were afraid that if they didn't allow smoking, they weren't going to get the business. So they wanted to put this out there evenly, and then that way no one could do it. Well, I live in America. If I own a business, I have every right in the world to have idiot smokers in my place if I want. I don't smoke. I couldn't, but it's not my place to tell a business owner if he can allow a legal product. I'm sorry if you disagree. Please come on the show, 323-784-9620. We're going to do a show on that pretty soon. I guarantee it's going to be a hot topic, but if somebody out there could tell me, I think it's June 5th. But the last time, by the way, only 17% of the voting population in Springfield got to force that ban, and now they brought it back. I don't know exactly how they did it, but it's just ridiculous that the property owners can't do that. Anyway, that's just what happened. So we're going to get into that another time there, Mark. I don't want to get into it right now. We've already talked about the voting thing. But anyway, back to what I was talking about. I do want to right now get into the voting rights bit, because we'll do a show on voting, absentee voting and all the rest of it. We'll do a show on that and voter fraud. I want to actually have some real people on here who have experience with it, who can explain this stuff to you exactly what all that is, because I am not the expert. But my thought process, and I'll leave it at this, is that if you're going to walk into a voting booth, I want to make sure you are who you say you are. That's where I am with that. The rest of it we'll discuss another time. But anyway, I didn't know, Clay, are you trying to come back on so you could talk about something else quickly or what? I don't know. Just let me know. But the markup on the items, they were shipped from the wholesaler, California. You know, I'm going to respond to somebody about markups and all that stuff. You know, I was in the appliance business for many, many years. And people, and I don't think people totally understand business. I didn't make a ton of money on everything, okay? I was in the appliance business, so I can speak to this. Oh, okay. I was in the appliance business. I had to have an inventory. That inventory cost me money. When you carry that inventory, you may buy something and have it in your inventory, and it may not sell for a year, but it costs you every day because that's in there. So as far as marking the product up to some extent, I do understand it. Now, it depends on what it is and all that. You know, I try to make it reasonable, but I did mark the product up for that reason. Sorry, I mean, that's just the way it was. Because think about this, if I'm at your house and I'm working on a washer and I need a pump or a solenoid or something like that, whatever it is, and if I don't have that on my vehicle, I have to go somewhere and get it. Are you willing to pay me for the time to go get the part and come back? Probably not. Somebody's got to pay that, okay? In fact, you know, I'm going to go a step farther with this. I did a show on this subject once, and I'll explain what happened was. And then maybe you'll understand a little bit more. And if you got a beef, I'm here to listen to it. And I'm not saying that all these places should charge as much as they do, because I think some are a little outrageous. But I did a show, and what it was is somebody thought I should go to their house for nothing to diagnose the problem with their appliance. All right, and it was like, are you insane? And so I went through my show and I was explaining all the different things I had to have before I can leave my house. First of all, I had to have training, years of training. It takes a lot to do that. I had to have insurance. I had to have a vehicle. I had to have all these other things it takes. And don't forget the taxes I had to pay. All these things I had to pay. Well, at the bottom of the hour, halfway through the show, I said, I'll be back. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about what I'm going to go on my first service call. And I was trying to explain what it costs on our end, because I don't think a lot of people understand this. So this is business, guys. So if you disagree with it, then you come back and tell me where I'm wrong. So anyway, I leave my house, and guess what? It's not next door. It's on the other side of town. So who's going to pay for me to go over to the other side of town to work on that appliance? I want one of you guys to tell me, who's supposed to pay that? Okay, all right. Well, okay, I'm just making sure we're in the same place, all right? I understand the overcharging, believe me. Some of those corporations are out of control. But I'm going to go a step farther with that and explain to you something where I have a problem, okay? So anyway, I went through that, and a lady called up, and she said, I don't think I should pay for that. And it was, for me, it's red meat. You guys know me. I love this kind of stuff. So it tells me that. And I said, well, what do you do for a living? And she said, well, I'm a secretary. I said, well, cool. Let's do this. Let's say, friends, you have a laptop and you leave and you go to, your business has five locations. And when you leave your house, you go to that first location, you unpack your laptop, you work there for an hour, and then you leave and then you go to the next one. I want you to clock out. And when you clock out, I want you to get in your personal car, and I want you to drive to the next location, and I'm not going to pay you. And she said, that's insane. I need to get paid. And I said, thank you very much. You just took care of what I was trying to accomplish. And she actually understood it. I'm hard to believe. But anyway, she understood it, and it made sense. Some of the corporations are out of control. I agree with you. My son even, for instance, said he walks out of there and he kind of feels sorry, but that's what they do. But A lot of this has to do with unions. A lot of it has to do with stockholders that think they should get 20% every year on their stock. I think that's an issue, too. I think it's great people buy stock. I mean, I think that's wonderful. But some of them think that they should get 15 to 20% every year, and they don't realize it's costing somebody. And I do have a problem, unlike Rush and the rest of them. Why is the CEO of Apple making $384 million this year? I don't begrudge the guy making money, but I have problems with that. And, let's go a step farther with Apple. How many American jobs are they providing except for the people selling it and importing it? All those products are made over in where? China. Yes, China. Yeah, now I do understand why doctors don't make house calls. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. But you know what? Let's go a step farther with some of this. Government gets involved, and they charge big taxes on everything, as you know, because they got to get their cut. In fact, let's go with the doctors. Just think of how much think of what medical costs have gone up since corporations – government has gotten involved in the medical industry. Look at how much the Dr. Paul's talked about this. Look at how much the college costs have gone up since the government got involved in that industry. It's an industry. Don't think it is any different. Look at the cars. You know, when they first, you know, there were some things at first that probably it wasn't too bad of an idea, but right now, they're trying, you know, you got to have all these different sensors on everything. And a lot of times they're not necessary, but the government makes you do it. You have to have airbags all around. You have to, you know, how do you think they make these cars get 40 miles a gallon most of the time? Because they weigh 15 pounds instead of 3,000 pounds. Of course, when you have an accident, you're dead meat. It's so good. They're there to protect you. Yes, they're there to protect you. Number to call, 323-784-9620 if you'd like to be part of the show. I appreciate you people on the in the chat room there, though. It is kind of funny. Let me see. Wayne Garth here says, how can you afford to produce something in Korea, send it to the store, cargo it in the U.S., Let it sit in customs for however long, send it to a wholesaler, and the new one. You know, it is amazing how the price of these things go up. I mean, I was at Home Depot the other day, and I was buying these covers for electrical boxes. When you pull a breaker out and you don't use it, you have something covered up. And it has to be, it couldn't cost them more than a penny for each one. I mean, there's no way. And you look at it, and it's $4 for three of them. I think it was like $3.50 to $4 for three of these things. I mean, come on. Now, granted, it takes machines and all that stuff, and I totally understand, which is people need to understand. But I guarantee you, it didn't cost Home Depot that much. In fact, here we'll go another one here. You ever go to Home Depot? In fact, I just did this recently. I helped somebody put electrical line in, and you buy the long piece of conduit, and it costs you next to nothing. And then you buy the parts to put the conduit together, plastic or whatever. And then all of a sudden you see a little bitty part there that cost 8 times, 10 times as much as that long piece of conduit did. You don't think they don't have this figured out right? Yeah, go in there and make them buy that and the rest of them, that's it. Well, you know, Madge, I want to tell you something about the enslaved Korean workers. You know, somebody brought this up, and it kind of made sense. It kind of started in the United States. You remember going to those circuses where they had all the weirdo, you know, the lobster woman and all this other stuff? And then the liberals came in, and they said, you know what? That's ridiculous. People shouldn't be watching those people and staring at them. It's really degrading all that. Like, you know, anyway, you ever see those circuses anymore? No. And those people are so unhappy right now because they can't make any money. They loved what they were doing. They accepted who they were. and they were fine. Most of them were absolutely fine, and they were making lots of money, and they were getting all these accolades. I mean, whatever, it didn't make a difference. They made money, and they paid for themselves. The liberals chased them out, and look where we are. Now, I know people are going to have an issue with this, but I'm just going to tell you other sides of this. When the kids over in other countries are working, sometimes that's the only money they get in their household. And when good-meaning liberals go over there and tell them that they can't do this, then you know what a lot of those kids end up doing? They end up being prostitutes. And I think it's, you know, as much as we go and intervene as far as like in their countries and bomb them and all that, do we really and truly need to be intervening in what they do with their workers and everything, especially as a government? It's insane. Well, you guys are on the you guys are going crazy in the chat room tonight. Pretty interesting. Anyway, 323-784-9620. You got about 10 minutes left. If you'd like to be part of the show, having some interesting discussions here. But anyway, I hope you understand about the cost of things. One of the things when I talk to people, especially Springfield seems to be the home of El Cheapos. I don't think most Springfield people understand what it costs to operate a business. I can tell you that from personal experience because I've talked to a lot of them, and they don't understand that you got to pay for machines, you have to pay for inventory, you got to pay for a lot of things, and then somebody will look at something and they go, wow, how can that cost that much? And I do it myself sometimes, and I have to watch it, but I also know what it takes to run a business. And I always found it fascinating in the city of Springfield, I mean, the Springfield area, one of the reasons I'm not in the appliance business is because of Springfield. Because they didn't care if you were qualified. They just wanted you to show up and do it cheap. So I used to laugh and say, you need to just have somebody show up in a van or a pickup truck, and they'll come there and they'll supposedly fix your appliance as long as they have a toolbox and look like they're legitimate. Because, frankly, the people in Springfield didn't want to pay a good price for somebody that knew what the heck they were doing. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't have that much trouble in some other areas that I was in, but for some reason, I know that some of the Springfield people may get mad at me about it, but it is kind of true. It really is. I'm in the lighting business right now, and I find it fascinating that a lot of the people here, they don't want quality. They just want the cheapest thing they can get, and that's it. In fact, you know, I'm going to talk about one other thing here. It's hitting home right now. I'm in the lighting business right now. I do commercial lighting besides this right now. Thank you very much, Mr. Blunt. And whenever I would go out there, what I find are the people, a lot of the very wealthy people in this town have actually told me, well, I can go to Lowe's and buy that. Now, those same people want you to go to their business, but they won't use yours. Now, someone help me out here. How does that work? How do you look at someone and say, I'm not going to buy anything from you. I'm going to buy it from the big department, the big home center down the street. But when you need tires, I want you to come here because I sell tires. Can someone out there tell me what I'm missing? I'm flabbergasted by this. Well, you're right, and I'm reading on the board here. But do people understand what I'm saying here? You know, if we don't go and patronize the very people, especially if you're in agreement with what they do politically, I mean, if you actually believe for a fact that you like what I do, I still have yet to find many people in this area that will call me and say, come to my business, I want you to go ahead and see what you could do for me. There are a few, but so few. And a lot of these people want you to buy their stuff. A lot of these people actually agree with me politically, but they're going to save a nickel. And I think what happens a lot of times is you forget that everyone has to make a living. In fact, when I had my appliance business, I used to... You know, people used to think I was too expensive, and believe me, I wasn't even close to what I probably should have charged here. But But the most fascinating thing was they thought I should live in a poor part of town because they had made the assessment that you didn't wear a white collar and that you were just some redneck, that's all you knew what to do. But it's amazing, though, how even that the plumber that's on here, isn't it amazing how important you are, though, when they need you at their house? Yes, this is a class issue, guys. This is a class issue. Hey, Mr. Plumber, am I right about that, though? Do you find that in this town? Yeah, see, I knew that. That's a typical thing with Springfield. And I'm telling you, I chastise these people. And there are certain places, I don't care who they are, I don't go to. And I don't go to because if they don't patronize me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to return the favor. Sorry to yell, but that's exactly what it is. Because if we don't take care of each other, we're not going to do it. A lot of the clients I have, though, are very good people, and they tell me how some of these people in this town go there and try to, I use the expression, Jew them down because they think they're paying too much, and then they'll go to an auction and pay $1,000 for a chocolate pie because they're going to give it to charity. I guess that's tax deductible makes them feel better. I don't know. But that's yes, just pick on Springfield tonight. How's that? Oh, this is an unusual town. I will say that. I love it in some ways and hate it in other ways. How's that sound? And I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of people out there that kind of feel the same. There's a lot of busybodies in this town. There's a lot of good people, so don't get me wrong. There are a lot of good people, but there are some people in this town, though, that don't like to they don't like to patronize the very people that they want to control. And I find that a little difficult. So I'm going to remind everybody that people that we advertise, and we're going to be putting on the website eventually once I get somebody to do my website, patronize these people. They are good people. And I'm going to give myself a little kudos here. I'm in the commercial lighting business right now. Thank you, you know what. And if any of you guys out there have a business or you're in a place where you really need your lighting fixed, I'm the guy to come and see right now. I've been doing this for quite a while, actually, and I actually work with lighting engineers. And if you have, this is a commercial, by the way, and if you have, and if you're using just regular fluorescent lights, you're an idiot. I used to be an idiot, too, by the way. You are because they're not good for your eyes. And us old guys especially need better lighting anyway. So if you, I'll give you my number, 417-770-6301. Or you can email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. Yes, that was a commercial. And you better be calling me if you own a business or are involved with a business that needs it real bad. But if you got one of these people who's your owners and they're not going to do anything that's really good for the business and they're more worried about the buck in their pocket, which I don't have a problem with, then don't tell me about them because I don't want to waste my time with some of those people. I can tell you stories about some of these people in town that I've met, and I'm telling you, I have little regard for because it's just like I was kind of fascinated that they had these attitudes. I guess I shouldn't be, but I just was. So anyway, all righty. Let me see. We're about how much show we got left here? Minute and a half. Okay, any minute's going to say you have 90 seconds left. All right, I'll be back on tomorrow. Let me tell you about tomorrow's show real quick while I think about it. I'm going to have T-Mod on in the 8 o'clock hour. He is the minister of truth, and he helped me do a Ron Paul money bomb last Thursday. And then on in the 7 o'clock hour, I did the Bass Ackwards. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have candidate Cynthia Davis on. She's going to she's running for lieutenant governor, and she is a very nice lady, and she's running for the Constitution Party, and I'm going to talk to her about that because I think it's going to be a rough one for her. But I really think it's important everybody listens because how in the world are you going to know who to vote for unless you listen to what they say? Trust me on this. They don't tell me just anything. I absolutely make sure that I get down to who they are and why they're running. I do the best interviews, you'll see. All righty, guys. See you tomorrow. Thanks a lot for listening.
You can't quit.
And why not? Because you're fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Thanks. I needed that.